New York City to the world. Tom Sullivan is on now.
Well, here we are. Welcome to the big radio show on this 9/11 of 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan. FBI Director Christopher Wray says we are better prepared. The FBI is better prepared. Better positioned for terrorists and better at stopping it. But I'm not being Mr. Downer, but I just think that we said that after Pearl Harbor, too. But they find a new way to figure out how to attack us. There's just, by the way, during the break, I went over out of the studio and down the hall where I could look out a window, and the World Trade Center is now visible, the whole thing. So the sun is breaking out, the fog is being burned off by the sun, and the World Trade Center is standing there gleaming in the sun here this morning. This afternoon now in New York. But at the base of the 9/11 memorial, and if you are traveling to New York, I know people want to go see Times Square and go to see the Statue of Liberty and all that, but do stop at the 9/11 memorial. It's unbelievable. It is just unbelievable what it is like. And so this morning I was watching some of the local coverage, and there's an older lady. I'm going to guess she's in her 80s, by herself. They have trees that they've planted down there, and she's got her hand up on the tree and her head resting against her hand, and she's just sobbing. She's just crying. And I don't know her story. I don't know if somebody, a loved one of hers, died on 9/11, or whether it's just, it's a very emotional memorial to go there and see the size and scope of the death and destruction of what happened 17 years ago today. And the president was over in Shanksville. They have completed their memorial over there for Flight 93. And it's a tower that has wind chimes in it, 40 of them, for the 40 people that were on board Flight 93. And you look at Flight 93 and you go, it was unique. It was different because they knew what was going on. They found out about the other planes. So they knew and tried to stop the attack, which was eventually heading toward the either the Capitol building or the White House. That debate goes on forever. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Bill in Boston. Hello, Bill. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, Tom.
Hi.
Bad day today. I had tickets on the plane that crashed into the tower. I survived. Don't ask me why, but it's a very emotional day. I had seats on D-22. I go every year to the Seafood Festival and for 15 years, and I canceled it about 3 weeks before I went. I got a little thing in the mail from 21st Century, like if you go into Disneyland, promo
right.
code.
Right.
There was one for some country. And so I called them, and it was $199 nonstop, and United was $567 and a stopover. So I canceled my ticket, seat D-22. I have them here, and I have my Sun Country here. Went with Sun Country. Every year I go back, there's about 1 million people that go to the Seafood Festival, and I go 8th, 9th, and 10th, and always come back on the 11th. I was at Logan Airport at 6 o'clock. And at 6 o'clock in Logan, there's only like one coffee shop. So I probably brushed shoulders with those people. And when we were on the airway, there was United was in front. We were in the middle, and then the other plane was behind us. And we stopped in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and they made us get off the plane. We wasn't supposed to. It was a pickup. But when we did, we went to the bar and seen the plane crash, which I didn't know it was our plane. And we got stuck in Minneapolis for 6 days in my hotel room. Then it came over the air, Flight 175, and just very sad that somebody took my seat. God save me. I don't know why, but it always affects me. And I went to church and gave a testimony and let everybody hold all the stuff, and people were crying and touching me, and God saved me. So it's a sad day, you know.
So your seat was seat D-22 on United Flight 175.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Yep. So the person that took my seat, and I had gone 15 years with United. Every year I go with United, every single year. And so...
God didn't. It wasn't your time, man. It just wasn't your time. It was not your time. But there's a story as well. I think it was that flight, United 175. There is a pilot. I don't remember if he was captain or first officer, but he was working on what's called a reserve basis. In other words, he was on call. And the airline called him and said, yeah, we need you for Flight 175 tomorrow. And he said, okay, and was all set and ready to go and go out to the airport and be one of the pilots on Flight 175. And there was somebody else that worked for United, one of the other pilots, who bumped him because the other pilot had seniority and wanted to get the hours for that flight so he could be done with his monthly obligation sooner.
Oh, my God.
And so he was bumped from the flight, and this other guy took his seat. And he talks like you do, going, why did God spare me? And that other person took my place, took my seat.
No, I didn't hear that story, but I know that some country... has never flown to Boston since that day, since 201. That was their last flight to Boston. They never flew after that to Boston.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, so pretty. Yeah, I went to the church and everybody was crying and just, I was blessed. God saved me. But I was listening to your station and I thought people would just count their lucky stars, how lucky they are to be alive, and things can happen at any moment, you know.
Well, you've got God has more for you to do. That's all. You got more. He's not done with you. So, God bless you, man. God bless you, Bill, very much. I do appreciate your call. See, D-22 on United Flight 175. This is President Bush. This is the iconic speech. Couple of days after, they brought him to Washington, or from Washington up to New York, and he stood on the pile with the rescue workers, the first responders, and gave this speech from the pile about the attack.
Thank you all.
Thank you, George.
I want you all to know we can't go any louder. I want you all to know that America today is on bended knee in prayer for the people whose lives were lost here, for the workers who work here, for the families who mourn. This nation stands with the good people of New York City and New Jersey and Connecticut as we mourn the loss of thousands of our citizens. I can hear you! I can hear you! The rest of the world hears you! And the people... And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Gives me the chills every time I hear that. It just was so I don't know, so touching that moment that he was on that pile with those guys. Let's talk to Justin, who's been waiting patiently. Justin, hi, you're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Going good.
Yeah, the reason I called is because I have a little bit of a different story. At the time, I was in the Navy, stationed on the USS George Washington. And we were off the coast of Georgia doing carrier calls and whatnot, getting ready to deploy. And, you know, like everyone else, we were watching CNN, saw the first, first plane hit. We're like, well, that's weird. And then as soon as the second one hit, we all went into, we call it Drecon Delta. It's, threat assessment. And, we went to business. At the time, we were doing our carrier calls, like I said, and we didn't have really any live weapons on our ship. Didn't have any planes, nothing. And we got told to report up to New York. And so we went as fast as we could, made it up to New York on September 12th. And there's, an iconic picture of our boat. And then
did they load you with weaponry? I mean, live ammo at some point along that course?
Yeah, on the way up, our air wing flew out, and they loaded them to the T. It was crazy because since we didn't have any of the air wing on board, the guys that reported, so like the mechanics, the flight crew.
Right. We've only got 30 seconds here. I want to. So you basically were told almost battle stations it was you were going to war. You were essentially told this is war.
Yeah. And and like we got up there and not only war, but we were also preparing for mass casualties.
Oh. And they never came. Whoever was in that building never really, there were very few casualties. Justin, I got to hit the break, but thank you for your service as well.
Unpredictable, unprecedented, undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
You say that emergency vehicles are there, understandably so, but of course the major concern is human loss. I mean, do you know if there were many people in the building?
Oh, another one just hit. Something else just hit. A very large plane just flew directly over my building, and there's been another collision. Can you see it? I can see it on the shot.
Oh, my.
Something else has just...
You know what? We just saw a plane circling the building.
It is in the other building.
We just saw a plane circling the building. A second ago on the shot right before that.
I think there may have been another impact. Can you tell? I just heard another very loud bang and a very large plane that might have been a DC-9 or a 747 just flew past my window, and I think it may have hit the Trade Center again.
To be honest, Elliot, I didn't get the impression that it was that big a plane.
It looks big from here.
I did see a plane go by a second ago, though, and it has now impacted the building. I'm trying to see if it's the different tower.
I think it may have been the first one was World Trade Center 1, and it looks from what I'm seeing on television like it may have been
the second building. This is a piece of tape, and we may actually see another plane enter the picture here in a second.
I wonder if there are air traffic control problems.
Let's go back to Jennifer Oberstein, who was talking to a second ago. Jennifer, did you see this happen?
Hello?
You just see this happen, Jennifer?
Matt, I've never seen any. It looks like a movie. I saw a large plane, like a jet, go immediately headed directly into the World Trade Center. It just flew into it, into the other tower, coming from south to north. I watched the plane fly into the World Trade Center. It was a jet. It was a very large plane. It was going fast. It went past the Ritz-Carlton Hotel that's being built in Battery Park. It flew right past it, almost hit it, and then went in.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody was pretty shocked as we saw the second plane come in. And I remember that. That was Matt Lauer and Katie Couric, and they re-racked the tape and showed it again and went, yep. Then we all saw the plane clearly flying into World Trade Number 2. Robert in California. Robert, thank you for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi, Tom. How are you today?
Doing good. What's going on?
So my perspective is a little different. my brother, who's stationed in the Navy overseas, came home for vacation, and we were going on an archery elk hunt up in Idaho. And we didn't get in until on the 11th, until late at night when we got back to the lodge. And the cook had said, did you hear about the trade towers? Like, what are you talking about? And a plane flew through them. And so right away, I went out to my truck, got on the radio, and was listening for the next few hours. I just was glued to my radio. So I hadn't seen any of it yet. And the next couple days, my brother and I were just out in the mountains. And what I really noticed was, and we take it for granted, is the planes that fly over you.
Yeah.
And it was an eerie quiet, because in the mountains where you're, you know, high elevations, there's no surround noise or anything like that, you can hear the planes flying over. And I never really, I always took that for granted. But the next couple of days, it was just so silent that it was
the absence of it stood out, is what you're saying. It was quiet.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, it was crazy. It was something to hear or not hear.
Well, it was the first time since Wilbur and Orville Wright invented the airplane that there was not a plane flying above in the American skies. For the first time since they started building their first airplane. They wouldn't let anybody fly until about a week later, and then you had to, as a pilot, I had a friend of mine who was a pilot. I needed to give him a ride up into Northern California, and they required that you give them a instrument flight plan, and they would give you a discrete code. And so I went through it because this guy needed to get up there, and I gave him a ride. And I'll never forget, we took off. I gave them the code. They gave me the code. I talked to air traffic control, and I flew the whole distance, and there wasn't another sound on the air traffic frequency. Not one call, not one from the controllers, not one from another airplane. We were the only airplane in the general region that was in the sky. And that was like a week later.
Wow.
So, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just you take it for granted, you don't think about it, and then all of a sudden, it just stands out like, I mean, so crystal clear, it was incredible.
Well, shutting down, I mean, it almost wiped out the aviation industry, but think about all the other things that people were stuck all over the country. People were renting cars and driving 1,000, 2,000 miles in a rental car to get home because they didn't know how long they were going to be stuck. So there you were in the mountains. Well, it must have been nice that it was really quiet, but that's interesting it stood out to you.
I thought we were going to have to drive to Fallon, Nevada, because they when we got back into camp, there was the outfitter was telling us that there was a lot of calls for my brother, and I guess the military, you have to check in even if you're on leave.
Oh,
so we thought
yeah.
we were gonna have to leave.
Yeah, interesting. Robert, thank you. I appreciate your call. We'll take a short break and be right back.
First Amendment 101. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
We just had a plane crash into level 4 of the World Trade Center. The World Trade Center, tower number 1, is on fire. The whole outside of the building was just a huge explosion. Green 6 to Manhattan urgent. You have a second plane into the other tower, the tower of the Trade Center. Major fire.
Everything south of the Brooklyn Bridge is in a dust cloud. There's no visibility. People all over the street.
Yeah, it was. You can hear the shock in their voices as well. Howard Lutnick is the CEO of Cantor Fitzgerald. Cantor Fitzgerald is a large specialty Wall Street firm, and their firm was on the floor that the first plane hit in World Trade Tower 1. It hit a bunch of floors, but the floor that it happened to come in was the Cantor Fitzgerald floor. So they lost hundreds. Almost their entire firm was killed on that day. Howard Lutnick, the CEO of Cantor Fitzgerald, was not there because he decided he wanted to take his son to school. I think it was his first day in the first grade or something like that, a little boy, and he wanted to be there for his son. So he said, I'm coming in late. He went, brought his son to the school and then started heading over to the World Trade Center to go to work when the plane flew in and crashed into their floor. Like I said, killing almost everybody. So Howard Lutnick has done an amazing job since then of, I didn't know the man before. I've met him a few times. I've interviewed him a couple times. But this man has turned into a person that's just there to do philanthropy, help other people ever since that day. They have a national, one day a year where they do a national charity. All the profits from the firm go to some charity, somebody that needs help. Here's Howard Lutnick talking about the charity work that they do because of 9/11.
That day is such a tough day for me because I remember so many of my friends. I mean, it's so many, you can't really process them. But then we get up and we have a charity day on that day. And so we, all of our employees, they waive their day's pay. And we ask all our clients to do as much business as possible. And I have great celebrities. So we've had Lady Gaga come, you know, mm-hmm. So it's cool. Think about it, your employees are waiving their day's pay and they're going to work their tails off.
Huge.
Right? I don't want them to go home and say, this is such a bummer. So you have Lady Gaga sing Poker Face into the phone, right? Shaquan Barkley's coming this year.
So what are some of the things that, with the charity, that victims' families can benefit from?
So we started Focus. We would give 25% of everything we made to the families to take care of the 658 families we lost. We want to give the moms $1,000. I mean, it may not be politically correct, but you know what? I learned after 9/11. I'll tell you a quick story. I called a woman to ask her to, would she be willing to speak at our memorial on October 1st, 2001. And she says, Howard, I can't. I'm not going to be in town. I'm going to Disney. And it shocked me, right? Because here I am crying all day long. I'm calling her. She lost her, the love of her life. She's got a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. Mm. And I said, Disney. She goes, Howard, I've been crying all day, every day. And my kids can't think they're going to have a sad life, so I'm going to suck it up, and I'm going to make my kids smile. And when you hear that, and you think of young women, these are the most extraordinary people. So what we want to do is we want to put $1,000 in the mother's hands and let her do. Some people, they pay their electric bill. Some buy a toy. Some buy furniture. Whatever it is. Yeah. Someone gives us a dollar, we put that dollar in some mother's hands to take care of her families. Mm-hmm. And that's the idea. Or 150 other charities. So it's, look, we know what it's like to suffer. I wish I didn't know. I lost my brother, my best friend.
Yeah, his brother was killed. And all of his almost all of his employees. The firm was almost wiped out. They're back, and they're in business again. But Lutnick was, like you said, on this day, they give all the profits for the day, and the employees waive their paycheck for the day. And then the profits from the firm for the year, they give 25% of that away to charitable causes. It's just admirable what Howard Lutnick got out of that that tragedy. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Jim, thank you for waiting. Hi, Jim. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Yeah, hey, Tom.
Hi.
I admire what you're doing today.
Thank you.
So I want to tell my story. Basically, you know, my mom and dad split up. I grew up in Massachusetts. I lived in California with my dad, so I went back to visit, you know, friends and family for the summer. At that point, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks. And, you know, I went over to Boston to stay with some friends, and we went out for dinner. We took a cab. I accidentally lost my cell phone in the cab, and, you know, I was flying out on the 10th. And then so I said, all right, well, I'm going to go get my cell phone. I'll delay my flight, and it's going to cost, you know, such and such money, you know, so I have it for when I go back home, right, to California.
Right.
So I told my family that I was going to delay my flight a day. Right. But then, you know, that was the last I talked to them. And then my friend's like, no, I'll just go get it for you. Right. So I actually flew out on the 10th, coming out west here and, you know, landed landed, you know, went to sleep. I woke up in the morning, and I'm driving to work, and I guess all my family and friends have been trying to get a hold of me. So,
because they thought you, you know, had delayed your flight, the Boston to, where were you going? San Francisco, Los Angeles?
Yeah. I was trying to go to San Francisco. So I would have been, you know, hitting a connecting flight, you know, in L.A. So,
well, even so, I mean, the two flights that left Boston that crashed into the World Trade Center, one was going to San Francisco. They were Los Angeles bound. You're right. They were going to Los Angeles. The one out of Newark was going to San Francisco. And then, of course, you got the one out of Washington. But that, so you were on the flight that crashed day before it crashed. Same flight.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I got into work. I didn't even know what happened because, you know, my car stereo had been stolen before that. So I'm driving all the way into work. I get there, you know, I didn't know. I was oblivious. I didn't know what happened. I didn't have a cell phone. And, you know, my boss came up and everyone had been calling him. So
yeah.
He didn't know either.
Wow. It's pretty hard not to know what was going on that day, but I guess if you don't have a radio and you, yes, I guess. How did you finally find out?
Yeah, so he gave me a hug, you know, and he just, you know, I got in touch with everybody when I was at work, and that could have been me.
Yeah.
Could have been any of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Why it was those people, I don't know. And I don't know of anybody who's ever had a loved one that's been murdered. That's what this was. They were murdered. And their life was taken long before they should have been taken. So, yeah, I there are many, many families. Think of the 3,000 people times however many friends and family and relatives and everything else that they have. It's a lot of people that still mourn to this day, 17 years later. So, Jim, thank you. Interesting story. President Trump was up in Shanksville today, and he gave a speech, which even the political correspondents at NBC, MSNBC, who normally rage against him every day, were very complimentary. So we'll give you a little snippet of that when we come back. Phone number is 855-295-6600. We also have the hurricane to deal with as well, so stick around. We have a lot more coming up.
The real world and you meet here. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
We are hearing right now of another explosion that has taken place at the Pentagon. We have the heart of the financial district of America being attacked. Now we understand that there is an explosion, there has been an explosion in the Pentagon, the heart of the military command center of the United States of America, John. It can't get much worse than this. Let's hope.
Let's hope. David Asman. That would be right next to Interstate 395. So that report, the Pentagon is next to I-395, one of the main commuter highways in and out of Washington, D.C. So, David, that would fit in with this report that we had earlier.
We must, as we've said before, not only have we not heard that a city is under a lockdown, but we must say we've seen schools under siege. We must say now that we are a nation under siege. Right now, we are a nation under siege. There is a terrorist attack, as you can see, at the heart of the financial capital of the world, and now one at the heart of the military command center of the United States of America, the Pentagon. Apparently, there has been an explosion. We have no further details. We don't know the extent of that, but we do have word that there's been an explosion at the Pentagon.
And it was just more and more of the kind of news where people were just not sure of what was going to happen next. So the president, Flight 93, is the one that went into the field in Shanksville. Those are the only people on board a plane that knew what was happening and tried to take control back from the hijackers. This is some of the speech of the president today in Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
We're here to pay solemn tribute to the 40 passengers and crew members on Flight 93 who rose up, defied the enemy, took control of their destiny, and changed the course of history. Today we mourn their loss, we share their story, and we commemorate their incredible valor.
So he said the heroes of Flight 93 will always inspire all of us Americans.
In the days after the attack, tens of thousands of firefighters, police officers, and recovery workers traveled to New York and Arlington to crawl through the rubble and search for survivors. There were prayer vigils, memorials, and charity drives all across our nation. Here in Shanksville, many of you raised up the first memorial, a wooden cross, a chain-linked fence, mementos and tributes pouring in, and dozens of American flags. A piece of America's heart is buried on these grounds, but in its place has grown a new resolve to live our lives with the same grace and courage as the heroes of Flight 93. This field is now a monument to American defiance. This memorial is now a message to the world. America will never, ever submit to tyranny.
So, they were the passengers on Flight 93 were considered to be the first soldiers in the War on Terror. That was the first battle. And so MSNBC, which, like I said, usually rages on about how terrible President Trump is, Josh Lederman, a political correspondent for MSNBC, actually complimented the president.
This is the speech that many in the White House had been praying that President Donald Trump would be able to give, the tone that they had been hoping he would be able to strike on a somber occasion like this. It was sober. It was emotional. He made it about other people. He wasn't self-reverential, as we often see the president be in his speeches. He told personal stories, and he really allowed this day to be for other people, and I think that it's going to probably go down as one of the better speeches that this president has given.
Well, what do you think about that? And so Stephen Hadley, who worked for George W. Bush, was also on MSNBC this morning and said, yeah, this speech help the country remember 9/11.
I thought it was a great speech. I think he captured the moment, and he focused on them, focused on the heroes. He found a very powerful story, and I think it's important for the American people to remind the sacrifice and the courage those men and women on that plane displayed. So I think it was a difficult moment, and I think he rose to the moment and helped the country to remember.
That was on MSNBC this morning. Former New York Police Department NYPD Commissioner Bernard Kerik reflected back on the fact that it's important for us to always remember what happened on this day.
I think it's important because you have to remember the people that died, the first responders that died, and you also have to instill this, ingrain this image in the American people around the country that this could happen again. If you're not focused, you know, I know they want to take the images off there, and nobody hates those images more than I do. I watched dozens of people come from the top of Tower 1 and disintegrate into the ground.
You mean jump? Because it's either get burned alive or
jump
to your death.
They jumped to their death, and they were landing on Vesey and between the courtyard, between the two buildings. We were right there, and I seen dozens, a lot. Those images have to stay in the minds of our people.
Yeah, well, it's obviously they're staying in his mind. It's very interesting. Like I said, if you are traveling to New York, take some time. If you're here on business, carve out a couple of hours. Go down to World Trade Center, and they have the memorial. They have the museum there. And the Oculus is the World Trade Center, well, the subway system and what's called PATH, which is a system that runs from New Jersey under the Hudson River over to the World Trade Center. A big station for the PATH trains is right underneath World Trade and the subway, New York subway system. So that was completely destroyed. All those stations were disintegrated, mostly. And so what's eerie about it is, as they went down days later and were able to dig down underneath the rubble, they got down into those hallways underneath the World Trade Center where there were shops. There was 50,000 people a day in the World Trade Center, and so there was a lot of customers that needed sandwiches, you know, pencils, paper clips, whatever it might be, all kinds of shops downstairs underneath the World Trade Center. There was one shop, I think it was a Hallmark shop, where if you were standing in that Hallmark shop, you wouldn't have gotten a scratch on you. All the cards were lined up perfectly. Everything was fine. Everything tumbled down around and above the Hallmark shop, except for that shop was still intact exactly as it was before the towers came down. So today, they have four stories going down underground of, it's a beautiful shopping mall if you want to do some shopping, but just take in the Oculus and the World Trade Center and PATH stations underneath World Trade, as well as the museum. It's absolutely worth your time. It's amazing. And we'll be right back.